WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a matter of what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
It's Monday night. You know what that means. It's the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. The road to Crown Jewel continues. And this show gave Lindsay a sad. Why? They've broken up Mustafa Ali and Mansoor.
They were so cute together. They really were. They were adorable. And, like, it was working. And then they broke them up. And I don't understand why.
Because Mustafa Ali was tired of losing. And they were losing a lot, so he got mad and doesn't think Mansoor is worth it. Because they lost to, who did they lose to? Was it the Hurt Business?
It was a bunch of people. Like, they basically created a whole bunch of tag teams and had jobbed Mustafa and Mansoor out to them.
Yeah, they lost tonight to the Hurt Business. That's why I was trying to figure out who they lost to tonight. It was the Hurt Business. So, yeah, he's sad. He's tired and sad of losing, and, you know, he blames Mansoor, which means coming up at Crown Jewel, we're going to get a match between the two. So that should be fun.
I mean, it's not a terrible idea. It's just, but why? I mean, for real, but I don't understand. Was this necessary? I mean, doesn't feel like it.
But here we are. The Queen's Crown tournament took place on Monday Night Raw. Shayna Baszler beat Dana Brooke. Dana was a little bit more competitive this week. She was countering moves with roll-ups and pins, and then Shayna kneed her in the face and got the win.
Quick little match. It's good. You're having Shayna be excessively dominant. She's in the semifinals now. They're kind of making it feel like potentially Shayna could be the winner of this whole thing, which I don't think I would, or really anybody else would necessarily object to that.
No, wouldn't object to that.
Especially just based on the way that they're setting things up, although they could move stuff around depending on certain things that they're doing with specific people. But yeah, I mean, I thought this was fine. I mean, this one and the one with Doudrop and Natty were both relatively quick, which has kind of divided people. I feel like on Monday Night Raw, you could devote a little bit more time to these just because you do have 3 hours, and they could be a tad longer in some instances, but for Shayna, it was fine.
Doudrop would beat Natalya in advance to the semifinals, so we're going to get Doudrop taking on Shayna Baszler next week before they head to Crown Jewel to crown the Queen's Crown Champion.
Okay, Re-Natty, whatever that lip treatment, I don't know if it was gloss on top of lipstick or if it was just gloss or what was going on with that situation, please don't ever put that on her lips ever again, because it did some really, like, weird lighting to her lips, and for a second she looked like she had Real Housewife duck lips.
The King of the Ring tournament happened as well. Xavier Woods would battle Ricochet in a really good match, with Woods getting the victory.
Go Woods! King Woods! We believe in King Woods!
Jinder Mahal beat Kofi to advance into the semis, and the Ravens just fumble the football again at the goal line.
I mean, I'm happy that they avoided that really awkward match between Kofi and Xavier, because basically Xavier's going to mow over Kofi to get to the King of the Ring. So I'm happy that they like didn't go there with that. They just sort of like, yeah, no, we're going to push that off to the side. And we're going to kind of take Kofi out of the equation.
So last week on the show, Randy Orton had a plan for Omos and AJ. So Riddle's like, hey, I went to the authority people, and I got me the match with Omos because we have a plan, right? We have a plan, right, Randy? Randy, we have a plan, Randy. And Randy's like, no, that was a one-time thing. But you're just saying that, right, Randy? Oh, they kept them all. Raven scored.
They're coming back.
So we get to the match, and Riddle's like, you know, Randy, come on, let's get a Randy chant going, Randy, and Randy didn't show. AJ said, you're stalling, referee, ring the bell, he had to get off the thing to ring the bell, then almost destroyed Riddle. AJ's like, remember you told me about karate, you took karate in the second grade, give him a roundhouse. So we saw the roundhouse, that was nasty, tie game. And then we saw it on a replay. And then we saw it on a slow-mo replay. And then he dropped him with the choke bomb for the victory. And then Randy finally showed up and attacked and laid out AJ with an RKO. But Randy, just love it. Randy.
Little annoying, but that's the point of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like where this is going.
Austin Theory beat Jeff Hardy. You had some run-ins from the 24/7 crew, but Austin Theory would pick up the victory.
I'm not sure I get where they're going with Austin Theory just yet. Like, he's just running around taking selfies.
I'm not very sure either, but we'll see what happens. We'll see where it goes.
Give it a chance. See what they're doing, but...
And it's weird. John Morrison was zen backstage as Nikki and Rhea ran into him. He's very zen now.
Yeah. Nikki and Rhea are a perfect foil for each other, because there's Nikki, who's respectfully standing there like, and then there's Rhea, who's like standing head and shoulders above Nikki. Like, it's the perfect combo the way they had them stacked, and she's got this skeptical as fuck look on her face like, and then she like just kind of is like, okay, Nikki, come on, we're gonna go this way now, and she wraps her arm around Nikki's shoulder and just kind of pulls her away. And like, I'm liking this.
Dude's like, did you know what he's talking about? And she's like, no. And they left together. Lashley cut a promo talking about his match with Goldberg, how it's a no DQ match, and how the talk of killing him is not the behavior or fitting of a WWE superstar or even a father. And he's been reduced to a rabid dog who needs to be put down, and that he will finally end Goldberg's career. Because Goldberg can't beat him, hurt him, let alone kill him. So there's that. We had the likes of Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair, and Becky Lynch all cut good promos building up to their tag match on this show, where they couldn't coexist. Like, the partners legitimately could not coexist, and they beat each other up. Then the authority came out like, you guys, fight. You gotta have this match. You gotta do the thing. It's unfitting of who you guys are. You're supposed to be the best. Get in there and show them why. And they restarted the match. 5 minutes later, it ends in a disqualification.
I love the hell out of this. I love this because it's oftentimes really awkward where it's like you have them like kind of not get along, but then for the sake of the match, they go along to get along. No, that's not what happened here. You had Sasha and Bianca just giving each other shit the whole time, to the point that they could not get along with each other. They just had to beat the crap out of each other because it's literally a fight for supremacy. It's literally to decide who is more dominant between the two, and they cannot wait to fight one-on-one. It's just, no, it's who's in charge in this match. No, we're going to fight about that, because I want to be on top, but so does someone else. So it's like they fight about it. And then on the opposite side, you have Becky and Charlotte. which is always good. And they're just kind of like, okay, whatever.
I like that in Charlotte's promo, she was like, yeah, I want Sasha to win so I can beat her from both and have both belts.
There's only one, two belts, and her name is Becky. I like the backstage promos that they did, not only for these four women, but for all the women that they had. They got their own little, like, quick bite kind of promos, where they could just basically have 10 to 20 seconds and they could just say something, and then that got them out there as they were coming out or as they were doing other things. And it was just a nice way to have them on the show and have them be a part of the show and include them and build up to that match without doing anything necessarily overly complicated. Like, I like it when they do that where it's like, oh, hey, you know, here's a promo and then here's the match. It's just that really quick sort of take on it. And it just adds a little bit to the storytelling in the match.
You found a way to get 10 women on the show tonight. That's really good.
That was amazing that they had 10 women on the show tonight.
Drew McIntyre came out to start off Monday Night Raw.
No. You messed up. It's the Big D with his big sword.
Came to the ring and talking about his match with that crown jewel with Big E for the WWE Championship. He waited months and months for this match, and this could be his last opportunity before he goes to SmackDown, so we let it slip through his fingers. Big E came out. He talked about how great it is to be champion. The sweet nectar of being champion let him drip down his chest and jaw and between his nipples.
There was some dripping going on.
He said McIntyre will not take the title from him, and McIntyre brought the crowd of reactions to Big E winning. You know, they chanted your name, everyone cheered for you, but I didn't get that. So I'm going to run through you just like I ran through Brock and Goldberg, and there's not a damn thing you could do about it. Out came the Usos. They were trying to you know, take some shots and trying to figure out who's going to be WWE champion when Roman Reigns gets the Survivor Series. And, well, you know, here we are. And they also have plans for Woods and Kofi and then on SmackDown. And, you know, before they go, they're going to have, Big E was going to make a challenge, but he said, I was going to speak on your behalf, Drew. But Drew said, nope. And then the Usos challenged them to a match. And they got laid out with super kicks. And we have a match. Tag match, Big E and Drew McIntyre versus the Usos in your main event, which we'll get to in a second. Are we supposed to feel sorry for Drew? Is that where we're coming from?
I think we are, but I feel like that moment has long since passed because, you know, when Drew won the title both or three times, however many times he actually held it.
Twice,
thank you. I don't remember right now. It was in front of no fans, right? Like, it was during the Thunderdome area. It was during the COVID era. So there were no fans in attendance. Like, Drew McIntyre won his very first WWE championship in front of no one except a film crew. And it was just stone silence, right? Like, that's the thing. That and that had to suck. We talked about it with him. You can go listen to our interview with Drew McIntyre. It's on rockgoodshow.com. Ding! Check out the archives. Anyway, like, that had to suck. And then he wins the second one in a very similar fashion, not necessarily in front of fans. So it's like, I can see his point where it's like, Big E, while he didn't win it on a major pay-per-view, he won it in front of 8 to 10,000 people.
Sold out crowd,
and they were loud, and they were chanting for E, and he got that moment in front of the crowd. And here's where it's like, Drew's been a good sport about it, and he's been the company guy, and he's carried the banner, but now he's seeing somebody else get the glory that he wanted to have for himself. And now that's a really, really, really tough pill for him to swallow, and we're not sure if he can. And I like how they're telling that, because now he's like stepping away, and he's going to SmackDown, and he has to swallow that pill where he's got to deal with Roman, right? And Roman's firmly sitting on top of the mountain. So, but you're also planting that seed later on for Big E and Drew. That's what they did tonight. They set that up. Like, you're going to split them, and they're going to go to their separate shows, but at some point, you're going to bring them back together, and you're going to do Drew McIntyre versus Big E. If it's for a title, I don't know.
They're good. And that's happening at Crown Jewel, the title match.
They can do it again.
Again, yeah. But I get your point where there's he missed the field goal. We're going to overtime.
Guys, kick a field goal.
It's hard.
Somebody do it.
It's hard. It's really, really hard. But no, I get the point of they're setting seeds, and you can go back to it. You do this match coming up at Crown Jewel, and then they go their separate ways, and they could find each other again on a bigger stage.
Somebody wins a Royal Rumble, and somebody challenges somebody else at a WrestleMania.
Could happen. Someone wins money. It could happen. Win Money in the Bank. You do the rematch at some point. Either way. So they had the match. Good match. They coexisted for a majority of the match until the end. They did not get along. They started beating each other up. Usos, I believe, won via countout. I think that was the official decision. Drew ended up bleeding.
Nasty cut.
A very nasty cut on the head. The Usos got laid out, attempted to lay out both men. Drew got back into it. Then Big E and Drew went at it in the ring. And Drew laid him out with a claymore to end Monday Night Raw.
So, a good setup for the two to go to Crown Jewel. We'll have a little bit more next week, but this was a really good, solid way to get them to Crown Jewel. Because you have two baby faces, right? So, somebody has to be the bad guy. I'm sorry. You can have mutual respect, but at the same time, not always.
Yeah.
So, now you're setting up things, like I said, between Big E and Drew.
So, we'll see where it goes, and that was Raw. Solid show.
Very solid show.
Not the best, not the worst. It was a show. Because they're going to kick it into full gear next week as they get on the go home to Crown Jewel. But speaking of Crown Jewel, we'll preview it Thursday.
That's right. Tune in. We're talking about it on Thursday. We're going to preview the matches, let you know who we think, who's going to win, who's going to lose. And then fresh off the pay-per-view, the following week, we will be covering it for y'all. So, you know, you get to hear all about it.
It's The Rock Live every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, we'll be back live with CB Radio. And do the show we were going to do last week.
Because somebody didn't big time you?
Hopefully someone doesn't big time us again. And we're not talking about the big time player Ace. No, we're talking about the intern. He big time does. I wasn't going to bring it up again, but Lindsay brought it up, so here we are. Anyway, that's Saturday night, midnight news. WTR Sunday night, live, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday for our post show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. And you can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code RocketSock or
Linz M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Games Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm going to do a quick plug. At Kyle Driver on Twitter, go buy his merch on Redbubble. Do it. Do the thing. Cool. Anyway, we'll see you Thursday night for The Rack. And live back here every Monday night along the airwaves on Wild Talk Radio Network. Should be live right here at wildtalkradio.com.